Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am Brent Ansel with World Outreach Church today. And I'm so glad that you can make the 3-second commute to your phone or to your mobile device today to join us for this time of celebration with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord Jesus. We glorify you. The name above all names. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we invite you, Lord, right now to minister to your people, Lord, to minister to those who are watching today, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We need your strength. Jesus, we thank you that you said there in the book of John that the Holy Spirit would be our guide, our advocate, our intercessor, our comforter. You'd be there to be our teacher, Lord. Holy Spirit, we rely on you this morning. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we celebrate you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's your love, Lord, reaches to heaven.
Love never gives up, never
sing it out to Him.
So your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out, Lord.
It is not.
So your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out.
Morning, just reach out for His love this morning, because it never gives up. God never gives up on us. And well, I messed things up really bad. You just don't know what I've done.
No.
There's always a plan A with God for your life. Well, I've messed this up, and I've done this, and I've done that. And, you know, there's always a plan A. This morning is that God's mercy and His love will pour over you right now. My prayer is that you would experience the love of God like never before today. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're touching hearts this morning right now in the name of Jesus. That you're blessing people, Lord God. We thank you in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Well, shake somebody's hand. Give somebody a hug right next to you. Share a little bit of that love of God with somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're so blessed to have you with us today with World Outreach Church and here in Ankeny, Iowa area there. So we're definitely glad to have you. And praise the Lord. I'm glad you could make the commute today and you're with us on this live broadcast. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to be talking about the way out. It's good to know that we have a way out with Jesus. You know, Jesus said there in the book of John that says that He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to Him but by the Father. So we know that Jesus said that He is the way. Well, not just the way to heaven, but the way for everything in our life, it should be. Amen? Jesus should be everything. He should be the way out. Especially these turbulent times with the excuse me, the COVID-19 going on right now, and we're still in quarantine. There's so many things going on, but it's going to determine what our mindset is. And so, if we're going to allow the Lord to help us out, if we're going to allow Him to step into our lives, all right, it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to change some thinking. Well, let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 13. This is a New Living Translation. Now, again, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 13, you know, we always think of this as, you know, the Beatles song. You know, the Beatles didn't write this. They just copied it from the Bible, right? Well, I'm going to read it out, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation today. As you're turning there, you know, the interesting thing is being able to look back so far on the COVID-19, on the, you know, this virus that's going around in quarantine, you see the best of people and you see the worst of people. Amen. You see both sides, right? So when you go to the store, you see people that have hoarded things, you know, anywhere from toilet paper to food. And you see other people. We've got a great community that we live in here too. People are trying to help others out. You know, we've had some people give us toilet paper. We've had opportunity to give food, or, you know, toilet paper and some other things to people too, and to help other people out. So it's an opportunity to see what somebody's made out of. And, you know, through this whole time, I believe God's watching us. He's wanting to see how we're going to react, how we're going to respond. And, you know, you see all the movies where there's a pandemic or there's, you know, a war going on and all of these other things, or there's civil unrest, and you see people that are, you know, and I'd say that it may not happen, but, you know, there's so much civil unrest, and there's people that, you know, they're holding people at gunpoint, and they're taking, you know, people's food, and they're, you know, they're doing really bad things. But then it also shows you an opportunity, again, for people that they can be a blessing to other people. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, it says, "For everything there is a season, a time For every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stone and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And verse 9, what do people really get for their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the heart, human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. So I conclude, there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. So we see here the Ecclesiastes we're looking at. You know, we're going to go through stuff, guys. We're going to go through good times and bad times. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But here's the key. Throughout this whole thing this morning, remember that Jesus is the way out. We're going to go through things. You know, the older I get, the more funerals I go to. You see people pass away. You see bad things happening, right? Does that mean that God is not good? Absolutely not. That does not mean that he has fallen off his throne and it is his fault. And again, we live in a hostile, sinful world, guys. Things are happening all around us. We've got a source. And that's why Jesus told us there in the book of John that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. Again, not just to heaven, but through this life. He's going to help navigate us through. We're going to have some bumps. Again, there's been famine, there's been pestilence, lack, persecution, war. God's people were in slavery. And every single bad thing that you can imagine that has attacked the Lord's people. But what's the key? He has brought them out. He has brought them out. The Bible is full of, this Bible would be completely boring and uninteresting if there was no conflict. Conflict, through conflict, we can have a testimony. Without the test, there's no testimony. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean or give you that we'll be excused or void of any bad things in life. It's going to happen. You know, people are like, why is this happening? Why did this happen? We're going to go through stuff, guys. But we have a source. We have something to connect with. We have somebody that's going to help us through this. Again, we have a source, which is Jesus. And again, let's say this. The Bible doesn't promise us freedom from problems, but freedom through problems. We're going to go through things. But we have our helper, our guide, our intercessor, the Holy Spirit to help us through these things. And again, you know, the Bible is not and Christianity is not a self-help program. It's about making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, becoming a slave to him. I know that's absolutely dirty. It's a dirty word nowadays. Laying down your life, your agenda, your business, your dreams for him. And I want to say something here, but the Lord is not interested in promoting your dreams. He's promoting his dreams. Now, your dream should be part of his dream. And again, too many preachers have presented the gospel, as a feel-good. We've perverted the gospel, but it becomes often worldly and devilish, where it's the blessings are all about you. Well, pumpkin, it's about Jesus, right? It's about him. 1 Peter 1, I'm going to read this out of the message. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. It is such a pleasure to serve and to worship God. It is a privilege. It is the highest calling. I remember having a Bible instructor that was one of my fathers in the faith that had got pulled to ask to be on some presidential committee. And he says, no, I'm busy teaching my students. I can't take the lesser calling. Powerful. Powerful. You know? We live in a day where ministers are treated like public toilets, and you know, people want to dump all our garbage on us and treat us like garbage, and we're, you know, second-class citizens and no honor at all. The word, presenting the word, being an ambassador for Jesus Christ is the highest calling. It is the highest calling. Amen. So you don't have to have a be a pastor, prophet, evangelist, or pastor, teacher to do this. It's someone who carries the gospel, is a container of the gospel. What a privilege. Guys, what a privilege. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 through 9, and it says, I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out, and it's proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you loved him. You still don't see him, yet you still trust him with laughter and singing, because you kept on believing. You'll get what you're looking forward to, which is what? Say this with me, total salvation. Total salvation. See, it's not about the blessings and the comfort. It's about your faith being tested. Again, how are you going to respond to situations? We're going to look at Jesus here in just a few minutes about how he reacted to things and everything that's going on. You know, we are seeing some people absolutely, you know, really terrified in fear over what's going on. And I understand some people have some genuine fear and concern because, you know, again, maybe a loss of job, or maybe somebody's sick, or maybe even you've lost somebody you loved to the coronavirus. These are things that are, they're not a joke. I understand. But we're going to go through these things, and it's going to depend on how you're going to respond. Again, here it says that, you know, the trying of our faith is like the process of purifying gold. It's a process. Again, times like these they're going to expose. Many people will give up on God when the pressure comes or when life comes. You know, the devil is a master of pressure. Okay, I always know that determine whether it's the spirit of God or it's the devil, because the devil is always pushing. There's always pressure. There's always stress. There's always things going on. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He leads and he guides and he's gentle. You know, a shepherd leads. You know, a driver drives, pushing people, demanding, you know, putting pressure on you. Now, sometimes pressure isn't bad, meaning, you know, if somebody's bringing something that you do need. But what I'm talking about is, you know, where there's stress involved and there's a hurry up and there's this anxiety ridden. That's the devil. All right. Now God will again, there's going to be pressure to do things. You know, there's pressure on us to come up to another level that God is trying to get us to do things. And I believe during this whole time, it's a recalibration for the church. I believe it should be a recalibration for you. You know, I know for myself, in my life, I'm sitting back thinking to myself, there's some things I need to recalibrate, right? So, you know, through this, we can find the beauty in everything and say, I've got an opportunity. You know, I woke up. You know, we always look at the prodigal son as, you know, the son who took his father's inheritance, lived a wicked, sinful life, and then he came back and, you know, oh, it's all about God's mercy. No, it's about an opportunity to wake up and to recalibrate, right? In the pig pen. You know, maybe some of us are in the pig pen right now going, I've kind of messed up here. I kind of made some wrong decisions. I haven't been living the way I should. Maybe I haven't been as faithful as I should have been to the Lord. Thank God right now in this lifetime, you have that time to recalibrate. But we don't know how much longer you're going to have, though. So again, during these times, it's a great opportunity to recalibrate, just like the prodigal son who went on to live a righteous living, was full of sin, but in the pig pen had a come to Jesus moment and said, wow. So sometimes we need those times. Amen. I know you're happy. I know this is just wonderful. So you can shout, you can jump, you can do whatever you want to. Amen. But it's still the truth and it's God's word. Amen. And I'm helping myself out here. I'm preaching myself happy. So, you know, I preach Sundays, and when I'm out preaching and doing things, it's still, I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Yeah. We all need this. I need this. So we're not, none of us are above the word that we've made it and arrived. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. And they crucified him. So again, he had a lot of persecution. So, you know, the stats right now is, but don't let this be one of you. All right. Don't let this be you. I've heard a stat. And again, I'm just throwing this out there. Okay. It's just a point of talking. So, but typically the stat that I was reading this week is every time that the unemployment rate ticks up 1%, there's approximately, statistically speaking, about 10,000 new suicides. So, you know, it's something where, how are we going to react? If we have an eternal perspective and we know that this is all temporary and things can change and I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus, so it doesn't matter if I lose my job or not, in the end, I still win. But if you're looking through as this is all there is to life, you're in trouble, friend. This is a very sad existence. Very sad existence. You know, one of the governors got on TV and touted that, you know, because the coronavirus is curbing, it's not because of God or, you know, anything that they've done. That's a dangerous spot, friend, if we begin to turn our backs on God. Amen? So again, there's two different camps here. There's two different mentalities. When tragedy does come, or there's pressure that comes, or there's strife, or there are persecution or pestilence, anything like that, you've got the opportunity to run from God, or you can run to God. Two different options, okay? The Pharisees ran away from God, okay? In their whole facade of their fake religion, and when God was standing looking right at them, they rejected him. But then on the other hand, we see that prostitutes are coming running to Jesus, right? So again, it's how you respond. How you respond. And a prostitute that gets born again is more righteous than someone who is self-righteous. Why? Because of the born-again experience. Amen. So again, you know, even with unemployment, you know, that comes along with stress and depression and anxiety, also sleep orders, eating disorders. All of these things can happen. But again, where is our focus? I'm not trying to depress you, but this is only temporary. Remember that. Everything starts in the spirit realm and it manifests in the natural. God spoke the world into existence. How did he do that? He's in another dimension than we are. And he speaks those things out. Then they become manifest here. So again, this COVID-19 changed things very quickly. But guess what? It can also change again very quickly. Meaning this, things can become good again, right? The things that the devil made for harm, God can turn things around. You know, and let's not deceive ourselves and think that, you know, because this is terrible, that all the naysayers out there, the economy is going to take a couple years to come back, and this and that and this. And I'm not predicting whether the economy is going to come back or when it is or when it isn't. I don't know. But the point is that God is way bigger than this virus. He is far bigger than your unemployment situation. And I know that it sounds impossible. Well, Pastor, you know, it's, you know, Brent, it's you know, I lost my job and I can't find another job right now. Well, we're going to talk about that. Again, the Lord never promised us a free from problems or challenged life, but promised to get us through it. He promised to get us through it, right? And again, so if we're listening to, you know, many of the charismatic Pentecostal preachers out there, you get the impression that, you know, since you're saved, then everything's going to be fantastic. You're going to be wonderful. If you're living for God, then it's going to be heaven on earth and there's no bumps along the way. Well, I'm sorry, but if that's so, then Jesus and the apostles were probably the biggest sinners because they had the most persecution. Hello? They killed them all. John ended up in prison on the island of Patmos, and he ended up writing, or the Holy Spirit gave him the revelation, which is, again, you'll read Revelation 1:1, it says this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know? Let me just say this. If you're not experiencing some persecution, you may want to check up on how much you're living for Christ. You know? If you're not in any discomfort at all, there's probably some red flags there. That we're probably not pushing the envelope hard enough, right? I've been in some situations very uncomfortable, right? Because I believe in Jesus. We need to get people born again, right? And I know that our society recoils against our comfort. Right now, we just can't run out to the you know, after church and you know, go eat somewhere. We can go through drive-thru, but we can't sit down and we can't, you know, go to these places and our convenience. We've been inconvenienced right now. Well, that's maybe a good thing. Nope, we have a source to get ourselves out of this. The Lord does provide a way out, but again, we got to be willing to trust Him. Here's the difference. The Lord is here. He's going to help us. He can help us. He can give us vision. He can give us direction. And God can do these things for us. But are we willing to let things go? Are we willing to, you know, let go of our little idols, our little gods, our little golden calves? Again, it's not what happens to you, but it's how you respond that's important. And again, let me just say this. Don't ever judge your Christianity based on circumstances. The devil will bring circumstances along all the time. All day long, circumstances will come along. It's that you trust in God and you're sold out to Him. Jesus, I like this how, turn to John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 1. And this morning we're going to look at how God responds and the Lord responds so unpredictably. The devil and also mankind. With the devil, I just said it. We'll read this and I'll come back. Again, the Lord's words and the way He does things are so unpredictable. John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. I want to read the King James here for you. Verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning He came again to the temple. And all the people came unto Him and He sat down and He taught them. Here we go. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought in Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Okay, I'd like to know where the guy's at. But anyway, that's besides the point. And Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what say you? Right? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down with His finger, wrote on the ground as He heard them not. So He acted like He didn't hear them, right? Good for you, Jesus. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted Him up Himself, and He said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. So you be the first one to cast a stone. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, because they knew better, right? They should have. Even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto the woman, well, where are your accusers? Has nobody condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, so here's Jesus. He's going on the day, teaching, and all of a sudden this challenge comes to Him. The problem, blindside. Okay? Interestingly enough here, what do the Pharisees and religious folks say? They say they want Him to, they give Him the choice, right? These are the alternatives. These are the choices that you have. Do you agree with the law of Moses that this woman should die and be stoned to death because of her adultery? Or are you going to let her go? Interesting enough here, God doesn't choose either one of those. And that's the thing with the devil always plays that game, right? He's always going to give you two choices or a choice to make. I'm sorry, but that's not even any of the choices. But Jesus goes along here and he doesn't even acknowledge the choices. But God's wisdom is higher than their ways. Do you understand? Jesus doesn't even listen to them, doesn't even acknowledge their choices. What does he say? He says, hey, if you've got without sin, those of you who are without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone. That is outside the box. That is, Jesus, I'm sorry, that was not one of the decisions. Hello, that was not a choice that you were given. But guess what? God is not into, he is not confined to your choices. God is not confined to your problem. The answer may not be what you are thinking. Right? That's why we need to trust in God. Because the answer may not be what's in front of you. The answer may not be the choices that's presented to you. I'm preaching really good right now. I know. Amen? Hallelujah. And the devil is going to give you a circumstance. And he's always going to try to force you to react. These religious folks tried to get Jesus, tried to force him to react to their scenario. But guess what? God's like, no. Let me give you the scenario. Let me put you in a place and show you. That's good. God is so good. Amen? And again, the devil's trying to dictate the choices to you. He likes to tell you the options, but Jesus never acknowledges the devil's options. You ever notice that? Every time that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, you know that the devil came along and said, well, if you're hungry, you know, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus responded with something completely different. It wasn't like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. He says, no, man will not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds. He is focused on the word, not the natural. The devil is trying to get Jesus pull back into the natural to focus on his flesh and what he needs and his body and everything else. And Jesus pushes back on the devil and says, no, the focus is on the Spirit, not on what you told me to do. That is good. Amen. And if we're looking at things in the natural realm and thinking to ourselves, you know what, I really need to, this is what I have to do. You don't have to do anything. Right? I don't have to do anything but stay white and eventually die someday, right? There's nothing I have to do. So when the devil tries to bully you, that is, no, I don't have to do that. I'm not going to do that. Amen? Woo! Glory to God. And again, many people are reacting by what they feel or what they see. And Jesus reacted with the wisdom of God. He reacted with the Spirit. The Spirit. And Jesus said, I don't do or say anything that I don't sense the Holy Spirit telling me or leading me to do. Right? And I'll tell you what, I've gotten myself into more problems because I've done, well, that sounds like a good idea. Well, that makes sense. You know, I've fallen into, and I know that you have too. We all have because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we've fallen into picking one of the decisions out of pressure, picking one of the decisions out of logic, picking one of the decisions out of what the devil pushes us to do, right? But that's not going to be you anymore. That's not going to be me, right? So again, most people think of their life choices, they have to go to work, right? They get up, then they just party. But that's not the choice, or shouldn't be, right? Serving the Lord and doing something for Him. Right? What about witnessing? What about giving to people? What about doing these things? You know, and I love hearing testimonies about people who are financially blessed and everything else too. But you know what my blessing is? You know what my testimony is? I was able to give money to people this week, right? Because I had money. Praise God. Amen. I was able to sow. We were able to sow someone who, but I believe in healing. We do believe in healing. But somebody needed some, you know, how to. You know, they're out of work and they come down with the COVID-19, some of that we know and some people that we know, and we decided to sow into them. Amen. And you know, sometimes we'll you know, if I can't get to somebody to pray for them, I want to give them money to help them with hospital bills. And you know, we gave money this week for to help feed people. Amen. That's what life's about, guys. Reality check. I love to hear about testimonies about how God blesses us. But what about the testimony that, you know, and I had an opportunity to pray with people this week. You know, I prayed for people this week. I gave money to people this week. You know, that's the testimony for me to be able to pour back into your life today. It's a testimony. It's an honor. It's a privilege for you to listen to me today and for me to be able to speak into your life today. Amen? I mean, it's great to go to the all of these wonderful things and have financial blessings, and it's all about me. That song we always joked about when I was in Bible college. The song about, it's all about you. And we changed the lyrics because of a lot of Christians. It's all about me. No, that's not you, is it? Mm-hmm. So it's getting recalibrated to a different lifestyle that God has for us. Being sold out. Christianity is not, guys, get it through your head right now. True Christianity is not about how God can bless you, but it's got what God can do through you. Let's just have it all as a utilitarian kind of point of view, or you know, if we all did this, where, you know, if we were all, you know, I'm just believing God for money all the time, and nobody gave or did anything. But if everybody had the idea that I am an absolute servant unto God, and I am enslaved to Jesus Christ, and I'm here to give and pray and to bless and to win people to Jesus Christ, what would this world be like? We would be out of here in no time. So again, if your work is hindering you, for example, getting our priorities right, you know, if your work is hindering you from serving God, or then maybe your priorities are wrong. Oh, you know, the Bible discusses, there's like some people, there's people in the Bible that the Bible discusses that are not able, that they're excused from worship. Number one, the dead. Number two, those in jail. And number three, those who are in war. That's it. The rest of us, we need to put our hands to the plow and get things moving forward. Well, what about the sick? Guess what? They showed up to Jesus' meetings. Well, they're just too sick. You know, I remember watching A.A. Allen old videos, man. All these old patriarchs and you know, Oral Roberts. Man, I love watching those on YouTube. You know, you got people that are brought in on stretchers and these big girders and everything else too. And man, God heals them just like that, right? And I'm saying this because, let's say that I'm saying this also, and I'm pausing for a moment here, is, and I'm not mad. I really am. I'm just jazzed about the Holy Spirit right now. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit is just, amen. The Word is exciting. You should get excited about the Word. You should get excited about the Holy Spirit, right? But this is a perfect time for you to go back to church. If you said to yourself, hey, I haven't been in church in a long time. Hey, none of us have. What a great opportunity to go back to church. Nobody's been in church for a month now or so, right? And maybe another month or so. Who knows how long it's going to last? But guess what? If you haven't been in church, this is a perfect time to go back to church, because guess what? Everybody's been gone for a long time, and it's going to be exciting, right? 1 Kings, you know, chapter 3, verse 16. We don't have time, but you can look there. I want to bring this to you. I want to bring this to your remembrance here. But this is the account. This is King Solomon had just come into power. King David had passed away, and King Solomon took over the throne. And we are seeing here that one of the things that set, one of the things, the thing that King Solomon asked for was wisdom. And the Lord told him, because you've asked for wisdom, I'll give you riches and your enemies. The Bible says the main thing is wisdom. Get wisdom. We need wisdom. You know, there are a lot of people out there that have knowledge and understanding and information that really is, you know. Wisdom is what to do with knowledge. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what you have. I mean, there's a lot of people that have a lot of just information, and they, you know, read a lot of stuff. Well, I'm an intellectual. Well, great. Right? That's wonderful. I mean, I remember one time, this guy that I went to school with, he, we were on a school trip, and we were on one of those double-decker buses, you know, and this guy was really smart. And so we were on a trip, and he went and he was standing on top of it. I was sitting next to him. Smart guy. We were in high, I think it was junior high, I think so. Anyway, he reached up and grabbed a power line. Right? Well, luckily we were grounded. A lot of knowledge. No wisdom, right? We need wisdom. Hello? Hello? Anyway, King Solomon. Two women, two prostitutes at that, two harlots, the Bible says. Both of them had babies. One of them died in the middle of the night while one was sleeping. One took the dead baby, put it on the other woman, and took her baby. The next morning, the woman woke up and said, "This isn't my baby, you've got my baby." So they ended up going in front of King Solomon. And so they're arguing back and forth, and King Solomon says, "Give me a sword." Yeah, take a sword. Okay. "We're just going to cut the baby in half and we'll give you both. We'll give you both half," right? Well, the real mother said what? "No, no, don't do that. Give it to her. Keep the baby. We don't want to kill the baby." And the other one was like, "Yeah, it's fine. That'll work." See how God's wisdom will thinks outside the box. You know, nowadays we'd be like, "Well, we need to test. And we need, where were the witnesses at? And we need to drag this thing on." And God just right then and there found out the heart. See, God's wisdom is beyond what we can think. Just like Jesus. Jesus, and when problems arose or the devil came along, let's just think about this for a minute. Anytime the devil comes along or you feel pressure or anything, it's always going to be the wrong answer. Hello? When was the devil ever right about anything in the Bible? Never. So the Lord provides solutions outside our natural thinking. Let's take your scenario. Let's say, for example, you're out of work right now. "Well, what am I going to do? I got to have money. I got to have a job." And the Bible does say those who don't work don't eat. I get it. Okay? But how do you know that's going to be your source right now? Right? God can use other people. God can use unconventional wisdom to help you. Right? We see a Syrian general named Naaman in the Bible during the days of Elijah. And, you know, he had his entourage. He came, he showed up at Elijah's house. Elijah wouldn't even show up at the door. Okay, well, first of all, this is a dignitary. This is a high-ranking military official, and Elijah didn't have the time of day to go to the door. The servant just said, just go dunk in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. And what's Naaman? You know, flipping out. "What? He didn't even come talk to me? I'm this big, important general. I'm a big wig, and I've got leprosy, and I need help, and I came all this way, and he didn't even show up to the door, and he wouldn't even talk to me, and blah, 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 blah." And what's his servant say? Well, one of his subordinates, one of the soldiers under him, "You know, General, if he would have told you to do something very difficult, you would have done it. Why don't you just, like in today's vernacular, what do you have to lose? Just do it." And it went beyond all logic and understanding to go dip in the muddy Jordan. But again, God's ways are above our ways. When the disciples needed to pay taxes, what'd you say? "Well, go fishing." Jesus, "We need to pay taxes, okay? I mean, we got fish. We're good. It's okay, but we need to fish. Go fishing." And there was a golden coin in the mouth of a fish that paid their taxes. So, God's going to do things unconventional. And that all comes back to this time of recalibration. The way Christianity was before, we can't do that anymore. The way of thinking that maybe you've had in the past, you can't have that anymore. So how is God going to provide for you? Yeah, because there in Philippians, it says that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, right? He's going to supply our needs. The Bible says that he's never seen the righteous begging for bread. Well, is he a liar? Again, you know, Elijah was running from Jezebel, and ravens came down and brought him food. Completely unconventional. We don't know. I mean, again, it's completely unconventional. But God will do unconventional things. And it all comes back. Faith is simply trust. Trust in him. Are we trusting him? Are we trusting him? Do we trust him? Right? So where do we go from here? Number one, bless somebody else. Number one, bless somebody else. Get out of fear. You know how you get out of fear? Give. All these people that are packing up toilet paper and hoarding everything, it's fear. It's fear. You know what we do at our house? We try to help people. Be a blessing to people. We want to give to people. There's a place that, you know, a lot of the food banks here, we've just given money to them. We have, again, you know, some organizations that our church, we don't have a food bank or anything, but we believe in people that do, and we want to help them. So again, number one, get out of fear. Get into faith. Believe God. Trust him. How about, you know, start telling people about Jesus. Let your light shine. Put your focus on him. You know, which mountain's bigger? Is it, are you making your financial problem or what you're going through in life bigger than Jesus? The Jesus mountain should be way bigger than the problem. And just again, in this recalibration is, what is our priority in life? You know, wherever you're at, go serve a pastor in a local church. Get busy. Do something. Give. Change your priorities in life. Well, I'm busy working, and I got this thing going on. Change it. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, one of the things that, when I was in prayer school, one of the guys, you know, head of prayer school says, I'll pray, I'll pay, and I'll obey, and I'll do all three. We are not only should be just showing up to church, but we need to be doing something. We're going to be involved with the kids, or praise and worship, or you know, outreach team, or whatever that is. We need to be involved doing something, not just sitting in church. That's how you get so dissatisfied. You know, this lady, I remember listening to Joyce Meyer one time, and she said, talking to this lady about, she was just so depressed and everything else too. And oh, it's just all so awful. And she goes, well, make somebody some cookies. Go make your neighbor a pie or some cookies. She started making people cookies and visiting people and telling people about Jesus. And she got out so much joy. Amen. Because you're giving out. Don't be spiritually constipated. I know it's kind of gross sounding. But what happens is you have all intake, but no release. That's why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea. Because it all inflow when there's no outflow. You've got to have inflow and outflow. If you want your Christian walk to explode, then you got to get outside. Oh, I need to read one more book. I need to do this. No! I remember being on the streets in New Orleans, witnessing to prostitutes and drug addicts and alcoholics and partying and just all kinds of stuff. Right? We got a guy born again. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit right there. Was born again 5 seconds. Started picking up tracks off the ground and telling people about Jesus. You know, the whole thing of it is, we don't need to have some big theological understanding. It's all about, Jesus did this for me. He changed my life. I was a drunk. I was an alcoholic. I was whatever. And God set me free. The end. Do you want the same? Next. Amen. Praise God. So this is a time for recalibration. This is not a time for lazy Christianity anymore. Amen. This is not a time. We've got to wake up and take on our cross for Christ. You know, the whiny baby thing. Oh, you did this to me, and you sent me this, and I don't like that, and this and that. And it's like, grow up. We need to grow up, people. We need to grow up. It's time to grow up. Amen. And I'm saying this out of love, because I want your life to be fulfilled. You will never be fulfilled sitting at home by yourself, listening to, you know, preachers. The whole point of Christianity is you learn and you interact with people. The Bible talks about ironing, sharpening iron. What does that mean? It means that when I became a Christian, you know, people just annoyed me all the time. You know, I mean, I would just get, And then when I got in the church, I learned to work with people. Now, I've played sports. I've been in bands. I've done other things before, and I work with people. And you know, it's easy to get along with people when you're all on a team and you're happy and you're doing something you really love. And it's great, right? You know, a lot of my band members that I you know, still have, I'm still friends with them, and they're great people. You know, so when you're doing something you enjoy and around people you like, it's easy. But it's when you get around folks that, you know, it's not always they think like you, or, you know, you're in a church and they have needs and you're on different levels. Again, it's iron sharpening iron. And what is it? Serving people, working with people, doing things, witnessing to people, praying for people, doing these things, right? If you're not doing those things, have a checkup. Start doing it. Get involved with the church, wherever you're at. You cannot be a successful Christian and sitting at home. It is impossible. Because Mark 11, 16, 15 through 20 says, go into the world. Right? And I know we're living in a different situation right now. I know that we're all, but what I'm saying, when this thing is done and we're out. Go to your pastor. Volunteer. Start doing something. Start putting your hand to something. Start witnessing to people. Start, again, put your hand to something. This is a time of recalibration. This is a time to re-examine yourself. And when we're on the other side of this thing, we're going to come out bigger and better than ever. Or we're going to crawl back and spiritually, you know, become impotent. We don't want that. God has not got a plan for you to do nothing. So again, we need to, and then, you know, also too, just as a recalibration, I see people in the church that are unloving. Right? There's a lot of loving people, but we see people that are unloving, uncaring, treat other people like garbage, and that those days are over. Again, guys, we cannot be Christians. This cannot be something that we continue years ago. We can't continue patterns over and over again. We have to change. We have to walk in superior love with one another. Amen. When the people come into the church, they feel the presence of God. They sense the love. We were just talking about that, about the love of God earlier. And again, the Bible is a message of fighting the good fight, not feeling sorry for yourself. You know, we see there in Hebrews chapter 11 where it has the hall of faith. Those people are famous and they are the patriarchs because they picked up the faith message. Now, they didn't have the Bible back then. Often they didn't have the writings we do. They didn't. You know, they were waiting for Jesus to show up. So they were still enduring these things, the Hebrews says, while they were still enduring the promise. They were still waiting for the promise. They hadn't shown up yet, but they were still faithful to the cause. And they still moved forward with it. Why? Because they didn't feel sorry for themselves. They did. Now we see people in the Bible that did. And what happened to them? They didn't last very long. But we are overcomers. You're an overcomer today. No matter what you're doing, don't be limited to the answer in front of you. Don't be limited to what your circumstances says. God often will give you answers that are completely outside the box. They don't make human reasoning. They just don't make sense. That's the journey we're talking about. I never wanted to preach. I never wanted to do any of this stuff, right? But it's God is going to take people, somebody like me that, I mean, nobody in my family has ever been ministers. You'll see other people that I'm a fourth generation pastor and I'm a blah, 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 and all this other stuff. No. Got to be somebody like me that, you know, I went to church when I was a kid. But again, he's going to use people. Nobody in my family has ever been in the ministry. But that's the cool thing about God. He's going to use people that, you know, and maybe you have no experience. You don't have, God can still use you. He still has plans for you. There are still things he needs you to do. So during this time, I'm encouraging you, let's recalibrate. Let's come up another level. Let's trust God like never before. Amen. And don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at your choices and say, this is all I have, because God will pull out an ace out of the deck of somewhere else and throw it right in front of you and say, no, here's the answer right here. This is what you need. Amen. Amen. And we can look at these things, at this coronavirus, and say that we've got to see the blessing in all of these things. We've got to see it. Now, oh, you're saying it's a blessing, people are dying? No, it's an opportunity for us to recalibrate, to re-examine ourselves. Amen. The ultimate recalibration is salvation today. If you're sitting there today and you don't know whether or not you're born again, Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven there in John. He told us that we've got to be born again. If you are not born again today, and you need to know whether or not you're going to go to heaven and have a life with Jesus. You know, being born again, we see there, and let me look it up, because I want to read the scripture for you. It's very good. I quote it, but I want to read it for you today. And it says 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When we're in Christ, and it's called the baptism into the body, which is born again. We are born again. There's different baptisms, right? Not just dunking in water. But there's different baptisms in the Bible. One of them is the baptism into the body of Christ. That's we're born again. We are now brothers and sisters together. We are now entering into. Jesus is the head, just like the Ephesians tells us. Ephesians chapter 1. And Christ is the head and we're the body. And so it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, which is us who were born again, he's a new creature, or she. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. When you're become born again, all of that junk is gone. You are a new creature. I said this, I think it was last week. I remember going to, I had an old Trans Am. It was a 79 Trans Am. Man, I wish I had that car back, you know. And I was at the body shop. The buddy of mine that was doing my body work for me and painting it, he was doing body work. Well, there's a firebird next to mine. I think it was painting red or burgundy or something. And it was a few years older than mine. It was, you know, it could have been a great car. Well, again, there was a rust spot under the rear quarter panel. And he just painted over it. And I said, hey, why'd you just paint over it? He goes, well, the guy didn't want to pay money and he just wanted to paint it. And we looked at it and I said, you know, I mean, that's going to be rusted in a few weeks. He says, I know, but the guy just wouldn't pay for it. God is not sitting over there painting over rust and trying to buff out rust. He's taking the whole new out and he's putting all brand new in. We're brand new. We got brand new steel in us. We got brand new heart. It's a brand new thing. It's not, God isn't just reconditioning something. We are a new creature on the inside. We are no longer that old man. And the devil's going to come along and say, well, you still look the same in the mirror. Yeah, you do. But when you become born again, you're brand new on the inside. But don't ask me how that happens. I don't know. Right? All I know is I trust the word and I experience something different. Okay? And if that's you and you have not received the Lord, let's pray right now. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son Jesus, that he died on the cross for me. And right now, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Make me a new creature. Take away my stony heart. And I thank you that you are my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life. I will obey you. I will connect with the local church. I will serve in a local church. I will share my faith with people. And I'll be a blessing in your name. And obey your word. And obey your call on my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Also, too, I want to pray for people. We have just some other announcements here really quick, too. But I want to pray for you, too. If you need healing this morning, I want to pray for you. Amen. I just want to reach out right now. You know, the Bible says if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Obviously, I can't lay hands on you, but I'm going to pray right now. If there's something in your body, if you need healing, no matter what that is, that you are healed. And we're going to pray for those people. Lord, we pray, Lord, right now, those people watching, that there is healing going into their body right now, Lord. We thank you that by the stripes of Jesus that they are healed. We thank you that your mercy is being poured out on them. We thank you, Father, right now that your healing power is working in them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you that your mercy and your love is being poured out on these people right now. No matter what their body is going through, whether there's a backache or maybe there's cancer, there's COVID-19. We pray for the people out there that have COVID-19. We say that that thing is cursed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that the power and the life of God, the Zoe kind of life, is invading their body right now. And I speak that over you right now. If you need healing for anything, we just speak, Lord, right now that you are healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord God. We praise you. We thank you. We love you here. And if you do have testimonies, please write us. Let us know the testimonies. If you got born again, let us know. If you receive your healing, let us know. Amen. We've had people that have been healed and set free. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm giving you an opportunity right now to give. Hallelujah. We want to give you the opportunity to give. I want to read a scripture to you. This is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 9. And it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. And again, you know, the great thing is it's not the faith in you giving, it's the faith in the person you're giving to. It's the faith in God that he's going to provide your needs. Guess what? I can't provide your needs. You know, when you sow into this church, when you sow into the church and you're a blessing to the church, we're not providing your needs. Okay? What I mean by that is I'm not your financial source. God is your financial source. Amen. It's simply an act of faith when you're doing this to sow into the kingdom that you're putting your trust in him. Amen. I want to make perfectly clear that it's not a church, it's not a person, it's not a certain, you know, area that you're giving into that's going to trigger anything. It's simply obedience to God to do what he tells you to do, right? Amen? So if you're connected with this body and you're sowing and tithing here, then obviously be obedient to God. But other than he is the source, he's your source. He's your source, not me, not the church, not your ability to believe or your faith. It's about you trusting in the person, which is the Lord. He provides. He's a good God. He loves you, and so do we. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we will be, we're in prayer. So if any of you have prayer requests, please let us know. We do prayer on Friday nights. So we definitely love you. We definitely care about you. And just be encouraged that throughout this crazy time that we're in right now, that God is on the throne. He loves you, and we're going to get through this. Amen. I believe in you. Praise God, and know that he loves you. Amen. Have a good day. We love you.